University for a joint concert in celebration of culture. Details at uwp.edu/theRita.
And welcome to The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwett, type 1 diabetic, proudly, since 1987.
Riding sidecar, I'm Dobie Maxwell, type 2, since the early 1950s.
Right around the nuclear test.
The Eisenhower administration. When the UFO aliens landed and had the meeting with Eisenhower, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
Never look into the light. And from what I understand, never go into it either. It's a whole other story.
Nope. Okay. It's radioactive. As are we. Thanks for joining us. We are the Diabetic Show. We've been on the air. How long have we been on the air, Mark?
It's been a couple of years.
Thousands
now.
Of years, if you were to ask some.
The Paleozoic Radio Show, and we have a website, which Mark is the administrator.
I pushed that off on somebody, so now I can yell.
Beautiful.
Anyway, it's the diabeticshow.com, or you can find us through WGTD, one of our fine folks on the chain.
And on the Facebook. We're there, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
you can ask us questions. We do have some questions we'll be bringing up a little bit later. We want to make this a fun get-together. Not that a disease can be fun, but we want to make it real and human. And it is amazing to me, now that I have moved to the greater Kenosha area, how I get people approaching me saying, you know, we do listen to your show, and it's fun because you don't make it so clinical.
Well, that seems to be a problem.
Do we need to get clinical?
You know, what we're trying to do here is give you a little bit of the facts with a little bit of non-fattening shook.
What's in the diabetic news this week, Mark?
See, you led right in. That was well done. Exposure to light, more or less these types of lights. Like I'm holding up the cell phone or a computer phone. Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of these cause and effect stories. This has come out of psychology and behavior. I'm sure you subscribe.
My subscription ran out.
Well, exposure to light of this type, leading up to bedtime in particular, it creates a cavalcade of effects according to psychology and behavior. First off, the light interferes with sleep, which,
when it's 2 inches from your face, yes, it does.
And then you might think it's harmless, but then no sleep. You tie into the other study, which says lack of sleep creates weight gain.
It does.
It does.
I thought mass amounts of pie and cake. That would be my theory.
You can't always hold the remote.
Okay, I'm no Columbo. That's where I would go.
So you got that going on. And then, since you are now acquiring all this new mass, you become a type 2 diabetic. You see how that chain of events led you?
That is an unusually logical chain.
In this case, it does seem, because there's a lot of triggers, especially with type 2. It really is a completely different disease than the one I enjoy on a daily basis. But
it's like carrots and carrots. Like carrots on a ring of diamond and carrots that you eat. Same word.
Different meanings.
Different meanings.
So I guess
homonyms.
I'm a public school product, but we'll get onto that in the second portion. So otherwise, the deal is, according to Dr. Kathy Lassart off of the Psychology and Behavior magazine, stop doing that. Or cut back.
Stop putting
The low levels. You have to turn the light way down. And I don't know if you're familiar with Windows. Windows also has a feature now, if you're into the Windows 10 thing, where it's called night light. So instead of just looking at your screen the same way, it knows wherever you are, which is strange, when sunset occurs. And from that moment on, your screen becomes dim. Or maybe not dim. Yeah, okay, dimmer, but also in a different shade. Not so much blue light, more towards the red part of the spectrum.
Well, it's funny because I bought my computer in Alabama when I was on the road, and it came with Winders.
Now, here's a story.
Nothing on that.
Not even a
groan?
We're still looking for sponsors.
Okay.
Okay.
Bill Gates does not listen to this show.
He has people listening for him.
I think he does.
Not all heart attacks announce themselves, Dobie.
Well, I don't know. Somebody clutching their chest, screaming, "I'm going to die!" in the middle of a McDonald's.
That's Hollywood style.
That sends a message to me.
And especially with the Hollywood movies, when that happens, you know what really gives it away just before the heart attack? The oboes. The oboes and the strings, the low strings. Anyway, here's the deal. A lot of people are having what are known as silent heart attacks. Almost heart attacks. Heart attacks, in a way. yet quite different.
The SBD heart attack. Silent but deadly.
Oh, thanks. I'm not
usually not attributed to heart attacks.
And I'm not good with acronyms.
Either. Okay.
But here's the deal. Out of Wake Forest Baptist Hospital Center out of Winston-Salem, they checked the hearts and medical records of about 10,000 people over about a decade. They found equal numbers of untreated silent heart attacks as well as recognized heart attacks that need the traditional, you know, clear medical attention. Mm-hmm. So now the silent heart attack is missed most times. Because according to the hospital here, symptoms are mild or they don't seem heart attack-like. Which, like you said, the clutching.
The grabber.
Yes. I mean, maybe you're eating a nice kumquat salad with little field greens. And then you get something that...
A little bok choy, maybe.
Ooh.
Some chives.
Don't get me started.
A couple of radish sprinkles.
Some of these symptoms of silent heart attacks are actually less urgent health issue-y. Indigestion, heartburn. I don't know about you. Heartburn for me, it's a daily.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I have a stomach of cast iron.
Born in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Wow. It's the water.
I think cheese caulks the cracks pretty much in my stomach, all the cheese.
And back in the 60s, they put the chlorine in the water. Fluoride.
Fluoride in the water. Close. Trying to tell us it got rid of cavities.
You have most of your teeth. You have all your teeth, actually.
Well, everyone's got a cavity. My first tooth I ever had, one cavity. Second tooth I ever had, two cavities. The third tooth I ever had, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Ooh.
Came out of nowhere.
See, but I'm just trying to draw the mental picture. Anyway, flu. If you feel like you have flu, I imagine that means with everything of the flu, the sweating, the vomiting, that could be a silent heart attack. Fatigue. I live fatigue. I
think we are now. We were talking off stage today as we were coming to the studio that traffic is horrible and everybody's cutting everybody off and they're redoing the parking lot and the people aren't moving out of the spots and just it's a stressful life more now than ever before, I think, in the history of the world. Would you not agree?
You know, I've heard that and I jump on the wagon with that, but then let's go back 26,500 years.
Let's do that. Back when my clothing was in style.
Close. You're out there, you're strolling the savannah, you have a saber-toothed tiger.
Correct.
Okay. Stress. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're lower on that food chain than, you know. So that's
Do
stress.
I have a club or not?
In today's world, you better.
Right, but that's what I'm walking.
Yeah. So
through an urban area.
I think it's just a different kind of stress where you're not really so much the food.
Okay, let me rephrase that. I hear your point. That was stress that was random stress. Now, today's day, I think we have constant, never-ending stress, whether it be traffic, whether it be our devices going off in the car, whether it be trying to eat the Big Mac while working our device, while making gestures to other drivers.
It's the whole plugged-in thing.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how the newest generation, how they survive with it, literally from the crib to the grave.
It's frightening when you walk through a grocery store. There's bound to be children in the cart. They all have a device, and they're all into it. They're checking their email. What are you gaga goo goo one at execpc.com? Wow. What are you going to get an email at 3 years old for?
See?
It's Santa. I'm watching you. Okay, Santa.
I can't really argue with that either.
But it's frightening. I sit there. I watch those little kids. I like kids, you know, and now it's to the point where I like to wave. Now that man waved at me.
Well, Toby.
I don't mean it in a bad way.
He could be pretty intelligent,
you cannot
too.
Get their eyes, their riveting stare away from that phone. Can't do it. They're three.
It's like the picture where the eyes follow you around the room.
Yeah.
Stress. Okay, let's move on to the
stress
this
and diabetes
story.
Have to go
well, this kind
hand
of runs
in hand.
With the silent.
Like liver and onions.
So the bottom line, and liver and onion, I haven't had that for a while. Good stuff. The fascinating thing, though, and this is according, of course, to the situation when it comes to the heart, the silent heart attacks, these people are three times as likely to die than the ones who can actually feel the heart attacks and do the right thing.
So the silent heart attacks can still kill?
Three times as many. Three times as many died of the silent heart attack. I guess maybe you have two or three, and as opposed to the...
Back to back?
Yeah. And as you look over my shoulder, in our studios here, we have a nice defib, which is very nice. And Troy, you trained on that on the wall?
No, he's shaking his head.
He
no,
has no idea.
Buddy, I hope
no
you don't get it because we're out. I just spent 2 weeks on a cruise ship. They tried to tell us how to use a life jacket. He said, basically, you put it around your coconut and hope the sharks don't eat you. You're floating like a cheese on a cracker. So now the defibrillator, if one of us starts to grab, buddy, I can't help you.
I have one more story. I was going to save this for the break, but yeah, we're going to save this for the break. We'll leak news into the second portion here because there's one more, which I don't know. I saw it, and I read it, and I go, that's Dobie.
We're building tension. Listen to the diabetic show. We're glad you're here. He is Mark Philwitt, type 1.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2.
Coming back soon. Please stay with us.
Diabetic Show. Mark Philwitt, type 1.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2. Welcome back. We are delighted that you're with us this week.
Thank you so much for hanging out as well. We can get to the Facebook that works on the Diabetic Show or the website, thediabeticshow.com. We get questions, and we've got at least a couple. There's one we'll have to read out, but let's finish up the news here.
Please do.
Okay. The thing that really got me, of all the things, it's stress in diabetics. Mm-hmm. And apparently, it kind of... The minute I saw type 2 diabetes and stress, why does Dobie Maxwell's name come right to the forefront?
Oh, man, I'm like Popeye the Sailor right after he eats the spinach.
Wow. You're like a Jiffy Pop. Oh, 3 minutes in, man.
Yeah, my blood pressure has a comma in it. It is so high. And things just go from zero to out of control in seconds, and it's very difficult to bring that in. It has to come out somehow, whether it's balling up your fist and clubbing a lady in her 90s at the grocery store for not knowing what to pick. Being on a cruise ship on the buffet line, it's like, excuse me, it's a pickle. What you're examining it like it's the the apes on what's that movie? I can't think of the name. Stanley Kubrick's space movie.
Oh, when he's picking up the bone. 2001.
Picking up the bone.
Troy will edit this to make us sound perfect.
No, that's a very old movie. But as to your point, stress is horrible.
I didn't know where we were going.
Stress and diabetes.
Well, the thing is, like, type 2 diabetes, your flavor. Mm-hmm. Most of it's associated with either, obesity or inflammation. And honestly, Dobie, I don't think you've ever been obese, but from what I hear, some people might have been inflamed. So
they've been inflamed by my comments over the years.
Maybe that's what gave it to you. The point of it is scientists theorize that life stress, key player. And the pathopsychology, that's my big word here of the condition. Stress is known to be active by many inflammatory signaling molecules. And now according to these folks from ADA, which I guess they would know what they're talking about, this type of stress, pro-inflammatory genes, deregulation of metabolism. So you are obviously demetabolized hard. You're off the rails. So
going off the rails on a crazy train. So, how to get back in? I think exercise would help.
Breathing.
Good sleep.
Here we are again. Mm-hmm. It's the circle logic. We never get there. We never get all the way back around to it.
Breakfast. 3 times a day.
Well, I can tell you as a type 1 diabetic, and stress affects it,
Sure.
But if I don't eat, because I'm on these two different types of insulin regimen. I have the 24-hour version. It kind of hangs around all ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting kind of cleaning up the sugars that are flowing by. And I also do the short acting stuff for the meals, the bumps, as they referred to. And I notice when I'm stressed, I become insulin resistant. If I would say need 10 units to eat that pizza or salad or whatever it is, I'll need 12, 15. And if I don't take it, the blood sugars go accordingly.
So they're out of control.
Exactly.
High or low?
Always high. But here we are again. This is why diabetes is so fun. It could go low, but not for me. Everybody's a little different. They have their own little thing. Like you referred to, everybody's a dented can.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's that type of a thing. For me, it's 25% more insulin.
This could be a game on The Price is Right, the high-low diabetic game.
See, again, you're trying to bring it in, and I like that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The stress, like you said, exercise. They also say you should go outside the box. How many times have you heard that? Thinking outside the box.
I'm thinking, you got a box?
Exactly.
Just
whose agent
through,
did
like,
you have?
I don't have a box.
Know.
Bucket list. I don't have a bucket. Don't have a box.
So, I'll start the GoFundMe first thing.
Please
Monday.
Do.
Okay.
You got a computer too?
Apparently, these are ways, according to the ADA, and this is fairly new, so you're going to have to give it a little wait until you kind of figure out where we're going with it. Disconnect all diabetes technology for a week. I guess that means we're kind of free floaters when it comes to the blood sugars. I'm not on a pump where I should be. I free float it with the syringes. Just, but I guess if you're hooked up to the pump or the CGM, the continual glucose monitoring systems, go old school for a week. That's what they say. In other words, just take your diabetes and just do it differently. Come in from a different angle. Just unplug. And like what we were talking about earlier, technology, how much stress does that bring to the table? So
All of it.
Exactly. So that's one thing. Do the old, carb counting. The whole point of it is.
Label reading. It's complex and intricate. And it's something that not everybody wants to do. So you're thinking, well,
yeah,
I can get by for a day.
See,
and a day becomes a week, becomes 6 months, becomes, oh, my gosh, my blood sugar looks like the national debt.
They refer to it in some circles as literally diabetic depression. There's burnout. Diabetic burnout is another. And that's a real thing.
I'm sure it is.
Because it's like you said, it's on a treadmill. You're always on a treadmill. You're always figuring out where you are, where you need to go, what you're doing. Divorces for diabetics, particularly type 1s over type 2, more divorces.
Really?
Now honestly,
is it a mood swing thing?
I think it is, because I think it's the partner has to put up the stress that you have. Mm-hmm. Now granted, the first divorce I had, I wasn't diabetic. But, hey, I could have been and not knew it, right?
Could you blame it on her in a court of law, maybe?
Again, no.
She pays half of your insulin bill?
Where were you again 35
I'm
years ago?
I'm your lawyer.
Oh, and by the way, the second marriage, 30 years. Thank you so much, in case she's listening.
Congratulations.
It's okay. So the deal being find a hobby. They want you to do a hobby now. Okay, so now you've unplugged from diabetes. You're now doing old school. Mm-hmm. A hobby.
A frosting tester at a bakery.
Let's skip to three.
That's a hobby.
Again, number three, which is really a kind of repeat of number one, turn off social media. Well, there you go. That was never invented.
Good luck with that. You don't think there's stress there?
But, because you're wondering. You'll be wondering. What am I missing?
No, it's a matter of the things. I don't care if you have 10 friends or 5,000. It's politics, it's religion, it's a picture of somebody's lunch that nobody wants to see, or some cross-eyed Rosemary's Baby. Isn't little Egbert cute? No, Egbert should be sold for parts.
We'll get out the emails at the end of the show.
How come the people with the ugliest babies are my Facebook friends?
So once you've turned off the social media.
A little vein right in the forehead. It's like, they can't see that. They can't airbrush that out.
Volunteer to help somebody else with their diabetes, Dobie.
How do we do that, Mark? And you know what? We should do that as a personal appearance. We've been on the radio now enough.
Way too long.
Yes. Now, I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about in general.
Yeah, no,
they keep the combination works when we come back to the studio. Let us organize some places where diabetics can meet and interact and have a fun time, but still an educational exchange. This is what we need to do. This is our mission.
Boy, you're opening us up to so much lawsuit. Just
no.
Okay.
No,
okay.
No.
So you're planning. What are we talking about? Oh, you mean like a diabetes something?
A summit.
You mean a tied in to something that's already existing that we kind of jump on?
No. That we someone in the listening area says, I hear your show. Yeah. I want to come down and see if you guys are actually real or if you are government plants with chips in your head from the government.
Yeah. And you want them on?
No, in a room somewhere.
Just
for
in
example.
A room? It just sounds very nefarious, the way you're setting
a
it
get
up.
Get together.
Okay, thank you. Because a room somewhere, there's lots of rooms somewhere.
Well,
you know,
I happen to have a comedy club, but I don't want to plug it on the air. But
that's
my point
true.
Is they could meet there. Maybe we could see a show together. It could be low pressure.
We'll plug it on the website.
We'll plug it on the website. And again, I know this is not for commercial purposes, but it doesn't have to be there. It could be a restaurant, sharing healthy meals together. once a week.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got that. Now I'm feeling better.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm feeling much better about
it. Yes, this is all above board.
About the whole thing. Actually, here, I tell you what. We're probably going to take the break here. Yeah, I'll ask you the question afterwards. I have a question from Jennifer out of Lake Geneva. From you, or actually from the website for you. And hey.
And I have one for you, too.
See, maybe we should just end the show now. But in case we don't, we'll talk to you right on the other side.
Stay with us. The Diabetic Show continues. Hopefully you'll be with us.
This is The Diabetic Show. I'm Mark Philwett.
I'm Dobie Maxwell, hoping to lower your A1C.
Please.
To get human levels.
TheDiabeticShow.com or Facebook, The Diabetic Show. And we take questions. And actually, we get more comments than questions, which will never go on this show.
We have fun, but we don't make fun. And we absolutely, because sometimes we have like Donna Swanson is in here. We have experts and people ask them questions, but they ask us questions too.
Sure.
I've got one for you.
I got, let me hit mine.
You got it.
This could take the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. Actually not. It's Jennifer from Lake Geneva. And basically, here, I'll just read it out. I have a 30-year-old cousin who was always skinny, gained a lot of weight once he was determined type 2 diabetes. Now, we talked about this earlier. I haven't seen that with you, really. I mean, you've been the same weird, but you have. You've held.
I've been weird for a long time.
But anyway, this. Jennifer,
I think I have type 3, really.
Jennifer's cousin, he was extremely focused once he gained the weight, because you know you gain the weight, you lose more control. It's mm-hmm. just a redundant. Sure. Mm-hmm. It's going downhill. You need more metformin or whatever you guys end up taking. So anyway, he was extremely focused on losing all the weight, to which he did. So like, good for Jennifer's cousin. Has an incredible physique now, even getting a certificate to be a personal trainer. I think he's already fixed it up. I don't want to see what the question is here. Oh, but the fascinating thing is, and not only did he reverse his diabetes with the major weight loss. Oh, see, I didn't. He reversed it, or at least, I don't know if he can actually reverse all the way. I think you can get to a point.
Well, it's like dieting. You don't get down to your birth weight.
Eventually, we all will.
Well.
So the point being, I guess because of him losing all this weight, and he's very fit, calls his fit life now, when he does have some bread or rice or little sugars, his numbers still spike. Well, then he's still diabetic. I mean, that's what diabetes is. You're out of that 80 to 120 or wherever they kind of mm-hmm. – ADA has kind of moved that number around a little bit. When I was first diagnosed back, with the glacier period, you wanted to be 70 to 110. Mm-hmm. And then I guess like heart, they make you feel better. They raise the rates. It's not 80 to 120. I'm hoping for
it's like the Fed raising the prime.
Once they get up to like 200, I'll feel better. But the point is,
what was the record? Do you think have we established the record?
I looked it up, and it's funny. There's no such thing as a straight answer. By the way, we talked about this a few shows ago. How did you put it? The world record for the highest blood glucose reading.
Yes,
pretty much it.
I looked in Guinness, couldn't find it.
No, well, they're very sensitive. We're in a sensitive world. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a victim, and you don't want to be the holder of that record of the diabetes.
Well, you do, but you want to be living to tell about it.
Well, see, that's the problem. I remember growing up, that was my favorite book. Robert Hayes, remember, it was the biggest man ever. I could be totally wrong in that guy's name.
Oh,
he's in the 20s or 30s.
Robert Wadlow.
It could be. That could
from
be
from Illinois. He's 8'11".
You saw him in like suspenders, right?
Yes.
Like farmer mm-hmm. outfit. Yeah, that's the one. Sorry about that. And yeah, he. By the time I heard about him, he was all dead. But you get the idea. The heaviest twins, gone.
The McGuires.
Wow, you are just a plethora of useless knowledge.
I read those books when I was a kid.
Guys, I mean, I was there too. It was like reading and the. Wow. Today you couldn't do that, could you? I mean, I think in today's ultra-sensitive world, you would be breaking some hearts.
Oh, I don't know. I was 500 at diagnosis, and I had no idea if that was good or bad.
500. You know, get behind.
What was yours?
775.
775. Now we're talking. It's like an auction. I mean, like 850. 1,000. Bingo. And call the ambulance.
So, or morgue.
Or yeah, the
yeah,
hearse.
Yeah, yeah, silent heart attack. So anyway, that was the gist of it. Her question to you, now can I get to the question?
Please get
here
to the question.
Okay. Is it possible for diabetes to be entirely weight related? And I noticed when you talk about working on the cruise ship, you have full access to food. Did they give you full access to
full
food?
Access.
Oh, and money? Anyway, okay. What do you do? How do you attack the line? I guess that's what she's asking here.
You know, thanks to our show and my consultations, not only with you, but other sources of diabetic information, I go right to the salad bar. I eat an apple a day. You ever do the whole apple a day? Have you tried to do that?
It's true, and no, I haven't.
It's amazing how, number one.
Troy, you? Really? Two hands?
It fills you up, number one. Yeah. It's discipline, number two. And I find it easy that, okay, and I have meat. A lot of times they'll have, like, I happen to like lamb.
Right.
Oh, so on the ships, one of the days they have lamb and they have veal. So I treat myself to some meat cuts. But I don't go crazy like some people. I look at the people that are the looks like Fred Flintstone. You know, yes. The car tips over and their plate comes out. They need
if you sweat when you eat.
When you sweat gravy when you eat, that's even worse. Yeah. And people are on vacation. I get all that. You know, at the end, I would learn the statistics. At the end of every cruise, 2 out of every 3 people are 4 out of 5 people.
Okay, it took me a second.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad you got that.
Very nice. Yeah. But what's
the ship's popping a wheelie when it gets back to the port.
I just remember the 24-hour pizza, the
24-hour. Oh, yes.
Oh, the midnight buffet.
Midnight buffet. Oh, Lordy. The ice cream. But they do have salad, and they do have vegetables and fruits. And in the ports, they do have a lot of times you can get fruits there, too, like Mexican mangoes and bananas and things like that. And I've learned to eat a lot better. And even other comedians, people said, man, you eat pretty well. Well, when you've been out there a long time, the thrill is gone of the buffet. It's like, okay, olives. I don't know if you've ever run out of olives. I don't know about it from a diabetic point of view,
very
but they're very, very healthy.
Very. Mediterranean diet staple, huge. Yeah.
Absolutely true. So things like that, I got them on all my fingers. I got black olives on the left hand, green olives on the right.
Pimento?
No pimento. I eat one at a time. After the time, I dip the olives in the ice cream.
You got to draw the line.
Eat them right down.
Jennifer, again, thank you, and good luck with the cousin. I hope he keeps that going there.
Thank you, Jennifer. This is from Wendy G. And she's in Menominee Falls.
Oh, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And she said her husband, Dan, was just diagnosed with type 2 diabetes over the holidays. I'm assuming that would be Christmas holidays. But there are a lot of holidays between there.
That's true. And being on the internet half of our lives anyway, it's anytime.
Well, it could be Arbor Day. I have no idea.
I'm open.
So my point is just diagnosed. And this is kind of a weird question. He said when he broke his arm as a kid, and he's able to predict the weather. Because of that. Have you heard of that?
I've heard because of the sense. Yeah.
Because
I've
heard of
the humidity or whatever.
When it's damp and humid,
the mold.
He can predict the weather.
Sure.
But Wendy would like to know, yes, are there any traits similar with diabetes that not necessarily predicting weather, but something that.
What would we like, the World Series?
No. I mean, are there other. She says, are there things, benefits that we don't know about?
Like for being a type 1 diabetic.
Yeah, no, type 2.
Oh, type 2.
Dad
well,
is a type
it could
2.
It could be type 1
like,
or
like
2.
Like, do you sleep better? Do you sleep shorter? Do you, I don't know.
Okay, well, here's the thing, especially with type 2, because it's the type of animal where diet control is probably 80% of it, I want to say, mm-hmm. And, of course, DNA probably the other 20%. What I've noticed as far as diabetes with any flavor, no matter your type 1, now there's a type 1.5, type 2, you know, you just broke ground on type 3 a few minutes ago. But what I would say, if there's such a thing as the best part, because there's really nothing you can predict, with the exception of the common sense stuff. You get candy. Mm-hmm. You get candy. If you get too much metformin or some type 2s are in do insulin therapy as well with the injectables. And they always put that, no matter what commercial you see for any insulin, that really long thing with the one pitch pike at the very bottom.
Correct.
Which is okay. Hypoglycemia. And the minute you go too low, any candy in the world, anything. You could take it out of people's hands, and you got to show them your, you know, your little chain, you know, before they come at you. Because
candy from a baby,
exactly. Reese's peanut butter cups could get you killed, depending on where you are. But anyway, yeah. So sorry, I really don't have a better question or answer for your question.